Praise God. We're going to look at some scriptures this morning concerning believing God and how to believe God. And we don't have a PowerPoint. I mentioned a while ago that I was going to stop on the PowerPoint for a while. And I don't know how long that while will be. It might be just 2 or 3 weeks. But and then we'll probably get into some other series. But I want to look at some scriptures this morning. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. And when something is impossible, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. But when he says something is impossible, we should look at it and see what he's talking about. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can't please God through our church attendance. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying these things are wrong. These things are needed. But just going through the motions is not pleasing to God. If our heart is not in it and we're not doing it by faith, nothing that we do for God is worth anything. And so we need to understand that. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so anyway, we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And I don't know how fast we get through it. I just got some scriptures down there just to the go as the Lord leads. But I think it's time for us. A while ago, somebody mentioned, you know, we need some more teaching on what we should say and what we should, you know, our expressing our faith, our confession of faith or whatever. We need some teaching on that. So maybe this would be along that line, but we see as the Lord leads. But anyway, before we get into it, let's bow together and ask God's direction as we approach his word. Father, once again, Father, we come to your word. We approach it reverently and humbly, realizing, Lord, in ourselves we're nothing, but we also realize, Lord, that your words is through Christ we can do all things. So, Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we pray, Lord, for clearness of thought, clearness of expression. We pray for an anointing to deliver, an anointing to receive. And, Father, may we take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and go from this place, Lord, determined to put these things into practice. Father, your Word tells us, Lord, not to be just hearers, but that we should be doers of the Word. So, Father, just direct us today. We welcome your presence. We welcome the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're just going to, as I said, look at some different scriptures this morning and talk on them. Some of the scriptures are going to be familiar. Some of them probably not quite as familiar, but as we go through it. But we're going to look at some different scriptures and see what the Word of God says about our faith and how to believe God and for whatever you're believing God for. Every one of us, I think if I took a poll here this morning, we're not going to do it, but ask you what your greatest need is, what's the greatest desire that you have in your life or in your family or things like this, I think every one of us, we would have probably 2 or 3 different things that we really want to see God do something in our lives. Whether it's healing or a financial breakthrough or a restoration of marriage or family situations, whatever it is, we need to understand that whatever we're believing God for, the same principles, the same rules apply to everything. Okay, when it comes to faith. When we believe God for something, all the different things that we believe God for, we need the same kind of faith. Faith operates, I should say, in the same way for all these different areas. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. And verse 8, he said, but what saith it? Now, if you read a little earlier in the chapter, he's talking about righteousness. He said, first of all, there's a righteousness which is by the law that the Jewish people tried to attain to, and none could reach that. Remember, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And for centuries, the law was there, the Ten Commandments and the law of God was there, and no one could keep them perfectly. And you might think that, man, I'm doing good, I haven't cheated, I haven't lied, I haven't stolen, I haven't killed, I haven't done anything, and I've kept them 99.9% good. But James tells us, if you miss it in one point, you're guilty before God of breaking everything. I was listening to somebody, just a humorous thing, they're saying, somebody said, well, you know, when we get to heaven, they said, God's going to balance out the good and the bad. And he said, I got a little case. He said, I've been faithful in church. So anyway, he died and went to heaven. And St. Peter was there. Now, this is not true, as you know. This is just to get a point across. St. Peter was there. And he started to weigh the scales. And Peter said to him, you've got to reach to 100. He said, you've got to have 100 points in order to get in heaven. But he thought, well, that's no problem. And so Peter said, okay, so let's check the record. So he started checking down through it. And he said, okay, he said, tell me about your life. He said, I was leader of a youth group. He said, okay, he said, 1 point. And he said, I went to church, he said, all my life. And he said, from the time I was born, he said, until I died, he said, I was in church every Sunday. Peter said, okay, he said, we'll give you 2 points for that one. And he said, I tithed. He said, I gave, 1/10 of everything I had. He said, okay, we'll give you another 2 points for that. And he said, what else did you do? He started to think, that's about all I can think of. He said, you got 5 points, you need 100 to get there. He said, you're never going to make it. See, the Bible says all of our righteousness in God's eyes is only filthy rags. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that I can do to ever get. Now, don't misunderstand, there's no such thing as 100 points you need to get in there. But if there was, there's nothing that you can do to ever amount to that level. The Bible says we've all come short of God's glory. Every one of us falls short. And you add everything together, and you've been faithful all your life, you might add up to 5. And you need 100 to get in. You understand what I'm saying? So the gap is there that we can't span that gap. That's where we need His righteousness given to us. So Moses said, Paul's saying here, what Moses was saying, if you're going to try to get righteous before God, you got to keep all the law. You read that a little further up earlier in the chapter. But then he says, but the righteousness which is of faith. You see, we're living in a different type of righteousness. It's still the same righteousness. I shouldn't say it that way. It's the same righteousness. But we receive it by faith, not by works. You understand that? We're saved by faith, not by works. None of us could ever do it on our own. So anyway, he said, what saith it? What does this righteousness say? How does this work? Verse 8 again. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now get what he's saying here. He said, the word is nigh thee, when it comes to righteousness or anything that you're receiving from God. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. With your mouth you speak. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What did Paul say here? He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in your heart. Now I'm going to build on that a little bit later on the heart part. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if you would confess something with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice what he's saying here. You confess it with your mouth, but you also have to believe it in your heart. You see, there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of teaching going around with positive confession and all these different things, and it's got good name and a bad name. It depends who you speak to. Some people say, it's only, people think if they're going to say something enough times, something's going to happen. No, that's not the way it works. Paul tells us here, you have to believe it in your heart. You see, faith is not in your head. You don't learn how to believe God just by getting something in your head. It's got to get down into your heart. And this is why a lot of people miss it sometimes. They say, I believe God. You believe in prayer, you believe that God is good. Oh, yes, I believe it. Up here, we believe it. We all know that God can do anything. Up here. But do we really, deeply, honestly believe it down inside? Down in the real, innermost being of your heart. Do you really believe it? See, this is where he says, faith has got to be in the heart. It's not a head knowledge. We learn things up here, obviously, and that's the soulish realm and all these different things. But man is what they call a trichotomy. Man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. With our body, we understand, we contact each other. You see me, I see you. We're living inside this body. A lot of people look at us and say, we're body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible always puts the spirit first. We're spirit, soul, and body. I am a spirit, you're a spirit. You see, a lot of times people say, you're a body, but you got a spirit inside. Well, that's partially true, but really you're a spirit that's covered over with a body. The real you is the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? When this body dies, drops off, you're still alive. This body is just a suit that you're living in on the earth. I've used this illustration lots of times. You go out in space, you got to take something off the atmosphere of the earth with you and walk on the moon and stuff like that. And that's what he wears, these helmets and different things, and wear an earth suit. We call it a space suit, but really it's an earth suit. You know, to carry the atmosphere of the earth with them. You understand that? So while you're living on this planet, you got to have a suit in order to be able to live here. And this is the body that you're living in. You understand that? You're inside. You're looking at two little windows. You got little receptors that receive sound and touch and smell and all these different things. They call them the five senses. But the real you is inside. So he said, when you believe God for something, it's not believing up here. This is why a lot of people say, well, you know, and again, a lot of people say, you know, this person is an atheist, that person is an atheist. I don't know if there's any such thing as real, true atheist. Up here they might be. But I think down inside, when something goes wrong, they're crying out and hoping that there is a God. They're crying out and believing that there is a God. Now, so he said, with your heart, the inward man, that inner person, that's where you have to believe. And this is where a lot of people miss it sometimes. They say, well, you know, I believed I was going to get healed up here. But that's not where the believing starts. It's got to come from the heart. This is what Paul's saying here. He says, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice verse 10 again. He gives it to us again. This time he just flips it over so we'll get a different picture. He said, with the heart, man believes. Not with the head. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now he's talking about salvation here. He's talking about righteousness. So, you know, but that same principle is true in all areas. Everything you receive from God comes with the same process, if that's the right word of saying, it's got to come into your heart first. And once you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, then something can happen. And we're going to look at some different scriptures today, and I don't know how far we're going to get into it, but we're going to look at some things. Now, Paul, when he was writing here, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, Paul was quoting something that Moses said. Quoting something that Moses said, and if you read where we just at there a few minutes ago, in let's go back to Romans chapter 10 for a second. Keep a finger in Deuteronomy as well. Go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 6. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Now, Paul is referring to something that Moses said back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 11. He said, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. Moses was saying to the children of Israel, he said, the commandments of God, the promises of God, the blessings of God, of righteousness and everything else, he said, is not something as far out there somewhere that you can't reach. You see, if God made salvation so difficult for us all to find, we wouldn't stand a chance. But he made everything right at our fingertips, so all we have to do is accept it. Notice what he says here. He said, the commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it. He said, you don't need, some people say, well, you know, I get saved if God really showed me a miracle. I believe God if I really saw this, or I, you know, all these different things. He said, that's not faith. That's not how faith works. Faith, you have to believe before you see anything. Anybody can believe after they see it. That's not faith. You have to believe before you receive it. And this is what he's saying here. He says, faith, he said, the promises or the commandments that I give to you, he says, not something that's far off somewhere. He said, you don't need someone to go to heaven to bring it back down to you. He said, it's not out there. It's not that far away. Then he goes on to say, neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. He said, you don't need to send someone across the sea to bring the word back to you. Some people say, oh, you know, Benny Hinn was here. Now, don't misunderstand. Benny Hinn is a great man of God and you know, got a great ministry. But some people say, if Benny Hinn was here, I could be healed. Or if, you know, someone else or whatever the case might be, you know. And we use all these different terms because we think in natural terms and we say these things. But this is not what the Word of God is all about. You see, we need to get something in our minds and get it clear. God, the Bible says, is not a respecter of persons. Everybody understand what that means? It means God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. Doesn't love you any more or any less than he loves me. God don't think any less of me than he thinks of Billy Graham. And he don't think any less of you than he thinks of Billy Graham. And God won't do something for Billy Graham that he won't do for you. Now I'm using Billy Graham and some of these fellows because these are people that we respect. And God, you see, you're just as important to God as the greatest evangelist that ever walked the planet. You're just as important to God. And God doesn't think anything less of you or anything more of you. We're all equal before God in regards to his love. You know your children, you got children. Now we're the Bible says, King James is evil, but it means we're natural. I look at my three daughters. I mean, I love them all equally. I don't love one more than the other. I think the world over three of them. And I don't know, I remember when we were having children, I used to, you know, you love your wife and things like this, and you think, man, how am I going to love two people? I don't know if anybody else ever went through that stuff. How am I going to love two people? And then the child comes along, and man, you're just absolutely wrapped up in that child. And you think, you know, all of a sudden you find out she's pregnant again. She says, how am I going to love two, another one? You know, and all of a sudden we have three. And I still think the world over three of them. You know, and God is the same thing with us. And we're only natural. And sometimes, you know, you might think, well, in my family, I was the last one. Nobody loved me. Or, you know, everybody loved me and nobody loved the other children or whatever the case might be. But we're only natural. And we you know, our parents and us as parents sometimes, we're certainly not perfect. But God is perfect. And he loves us all the same thing. So God's not going to do something for Moses that he wouldn't do for you. Or any other way, okay? So we need to get that in our minds that we're all equal before God. He loves us all the same thing. There's no respecter of persons. So he's saying here, we don't need somebody to go up to heaven and bring the word down to us so we can hear it. We don't need to have somebody go across the sea and bring it back to us so we can hear it and do it. See, Paul used the same illustration, but Paul put Jesus in there instead of, you know, going up into heaven. He said, we don't need somebody to go up to heaven and say, who's going to go up to heaven and bring it down? He said, to bring Christ down to us. Jesus already came. He said, we don't need somebody to go into the deep to bring Christ back again. He said, he already did that. So he said, what do we have to do? And this is what he says. He said, the word is nigh thee. Or we would say near you. It's near you. It's in your mouth. I mean, that's how close it is. It's in your mouth. And, you know, we need to be very careful how we speak. I've shared this dozens of times. You've got to be very careful how you speak and the words that you pronounce over yourself, over your family, over your job, over your sickness, over your whatever the case might be very careful what you're saying. Because your words, you know the word of God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Whatever you speak is going to come to pass in your life. And you've got to be careful when you're believing God for a healing or something like that. Don't go around talking about the aches and pains all the time. I'm serious. You're believing God to save an unsaved loved one? Don't go around talking about how miserable they are all the time. You understand that? Your words have got to be words of faith. And speaking what's going on in the situation, you know, like for instance, you're believing God for maybe you got a wayward son or something like that, this, you know, and you say, well, that person, you know, so-and-so, and he'll never amount to anything. Be careful what you're saying. We need to have our words always speaking faith over that situation. Joel Osteen says this. He said, don't use your words to explain your situation or something, describe your situation, but use your words to change the situation. And this is what Moses was saying here. He said, the word is near thee, verse 14. The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. He said, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. In other words, it's all in the power of the tongue. Now, let's go back to Romans again. He said, this faith that God moves by is something you got to believe in your heart first. And once you get it settled in your heart, then speak it. And we're going to look at some other scriptures to prove that. But you see, a lot of people go around and they hear somebody talk about, you know, like we're preaching here now, of speaking the right words. And people think it's a mechanical formula. Just, if I say it enough times, if I keep saying it, it's going to happen. No, it's not. Unless you believe it in your heart. You understand that? It's got to come from your heart. It's no good just to come from your lips. But if it comes from your heart and you believe something in your heart and speak it, the Word of God tells us we can decree things. We can call things into existence, but we have to believe it in our hearts first. Now, let's go back. Where else am I going to go? Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 20. Matthew 21 and verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, now what he's talking about here is the fig tree. Remember Jesus cursed the fig tree? Next morning they come back into town and the fig tree was all withered. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Notice verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, or in other words, I guarantee you, or I promise you, if you have faith, now where's faith come? In the heart, right? So, I mean, we can put that in there. If you have faith in the heart, we just read over in Romans that you have to believe in your heart. That's where faith comes from. It's got to be in your heart. If you have faith in your heart, in other words, and doubt not. It's no good to say, well, you know, I believe God is going to heal, you know, my sickness or my child or whatever the case might be. I believe God is going to deliver me from whatever. I believe God is going to bless my finances. And then the next day you talk about, boy, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet at the end of the month. Well, you're just tearing apart everything you're praying for. You know, your confession has got to stay focused all the time. And Jesus said, if you believe, if you have faith, but don't doubt. Anybody know what James said about that? A double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all of his ways. He says, he's like a wave that's tossed to and fro in the sea. And James said, don't let that person think he'll receive anything from God. I mean, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Pretty clear. If you're thinking one way one day, another next day, you know, you're just going around on emotions and all these different things, and one day you're believing God, next day you're not, and next day you are, and next day you're not, and then 2 weeks you are, and 2 weeks you're not, and you know, whatever. James, you're just wasting your time. You're not going to get anything from God. Then you get mad at people who do get blessed. I mean, that's the way it happens. People get mad at the people who do get blessed then. But James said, he said, if you're thinking one way and back and forth, he said, you're like a wave that's just going back and forth into the sea. He said, don't let that person think they'll receive anything from God. That's pretty clear. Now, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith in your heart and doubt not, ye shall not only do that which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, verse 22. And all things. How many things are all? Is it all except my situation? Is it all except my finances? Or is it all except my sickness? Or is it all, you know, that's for everybody else's family, but not for my family? How much is all? Everything. In other words, there's nothing else outside this. This is all things. So Jesus is saying, well, Paul told us how faith works. You've got to believe in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Jesus is saying the same thing here. He said, if you believe and don't doubt and speak to the mountain, same principle. You have to believe it and speak it. He said, all things work that way. Is that what he's saying? All things, verse 22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall have. I don't know if it's getting cross to you today or not. Anyway, I'm starting to understand it more. But we have to believe it in our heart, speak it with our mouth. And he said, this works for everything. It all works the same way. If it's salvation, if it's a healing, if it's deliverance, if it's freedom of some kind, if it's a family situation, if it's finances, no matter what it is, he said, all things works on the same principles. You have to believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth. And he said, you'll have it. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now let's go to another scripture. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, just one verse there, verse 23. Mark 9, 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, in other words, if you can believe, see, everything you get from God comes by believing. Believing. We sing a chorus, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Believing is a challenge sometimes. Because when all the storms are coming against you and all the problems are there and everything is going against you and you're trying to believe for something, the devil's going to do everything in his power to throw you off course and get you believing something else. But like Isaiah said, whose report are we going to believe? There's a psalm he's saying, whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. So Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Now this is the father that brought his son that was demon possessed. And the Bible says that his son would, you know, fall into the fire and different things and all these different things. And anyway, verse 23, or was it? Where'd it go? Yeah, 9:23. He said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things. How many things are there? I'll do this until you get tired of it. How many things are all? Everything. It means not my situation is accepted, right? Not your everything except your situation. It's all things. It's not just his family, but not my family. Or 90% of the church, but not the other 10%. He said, all things. That means every last thing is possible to him that believes. Everything is possible to him that believes. Now let's go to another verse. Mark chapter 11. We'll probably finish up with this part of it. Mark chapter 11. Verse 20. We take up the rest of it at night. The Bible says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this is the same situation that Matthew was talking about. Now, we're looking at Mark's explanation of how it went. Matthew, we just read it a few minutes ago. But anyway, this gives you a little bit of understanding. And in the morning, as they passed by, now, remember the story. Jesus was walking in towards Jerusalem in the morning. This is the last week when he was on the earth, just before he was crucified. He tells us this is on a Tuesday morning. He was walking into Jerusalem. Saw the fig tree, and you know the story, he cursed the fig tree. They went on to Jerusalem that day, cleansed the temple, and did the miracles and everything, and teaching of that. Came back out into Bethany, which is about 2-3 miles away. Came back out to Bethany, stayed with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus overnight. He did that back and forth, Lazarus. Stayed with them overnight, and next day he would go back into the city, come back at night, and go back into the city, come back at night. He did that all, what we call the Passion Week. He did that all week, you know, because the Jews were trying to kill him. So he'd go back out here and stay overnight, go back in the morning. The day after, he was going back in the morning, and the disciples saw the tree was all just starting to dry up. He cursed it yesterday. It was starting to dry up. Now, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, a better translation for that, and you can look up another translation. He said, have the faith of God. Have God's kind of faith. Have God's faith, in other words. Now, you need to understand something here. This is how God operates in faith. You ever stop to think that God operates in faith too? He said, have the faith of God. Now, notice this. For verily I say unto you, or in other words, I guarantee you, this is the way it works, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. That's where you got to believe, isn't it? That's what Paul said over in Romans. With the heart man believes. You're going to have doubts come up here all the time. You understand that? But don't let them get down into the heart. I guarantee you, the minute you make a declaration, you say, I'm believing God for a healing in my body. And I guarantee you, up here, you're going to think, I wonder, is it going to work? Anybody else ever go to church, or just me? Right? Because that's up here, in the soulish realm. You see, we got to worship God. The Bible, how does God say he wants us to worship him? We must worship him where? In our heart or in our spirit. Right? We got to worship from our spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You don't worship from up here. Now I'm going to just go one side for a minute from the message. When you're trying to please God from up here, you'll end up with frustration. You will end up with all. But when you come into a church and you worship God from down here, you don't care what anybody else is wearing. Don't care if you got their hair colored. Don't care if the pastor's going bald. You don't care about any of these things because you're there to worship God. But when you're worshiping from up here, you're looking at everything. You're looking at, I don't like her shoes. I don't know where she got that dress. I don't know why he's dressed that way. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why they never wore a shirt and tie, or that fellow did wear a shirt and tie. You're doing it all from up here. You know, but when you're worshiping down here, none of that even crosses your mind. Isn't that right? When you're worshiping from up here, people say, I'm not going to that church, don't like the music. That pastor preaches too long. Or I can't understand his accent. Listen, wait till you get to heaven. We're a lot of us up there. The Lord will get you for that. But you understand, like when you're trying to serve God from up here, there's nothing but frustration. Everything can get on your nerves. You think about going to church for an hour, so, oh my goodness, I can't stand an hour. I can't pray for an hour because you're trying to do it from up here. But if you get it from down here, there's a totally different outlook on it. You understand that? So when you hear people say, well, you know, I don't like the way to do the service there. I don't like this, I don't like that. You're trying, because you're trying to do it from up here. What did Jesus say? He said, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You understand that? God wants us to worship from the heart. Anyway, let's get back to the message. That was just a little. He said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, what did Paul say? Believe in your heart and say it with your mouth. So Jesus is saying the same principle right here. Remember, he said, this is how it all works. All things work this way. Everything you're believing God for, whether it's salvation or healing or finances or miracle of some kind or job or whatever the case, it all works in the same principle. Whatever you're believing, he said, all things. How many things are all? Thank you. All things work this way. If you would say with your mouth and believe in your heart, not believe in your head, but believe in your heart. He said, if you would say with your mouth, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, and we can add it there if we wanted to, in his heart. Does that make sense? That's what Paul said, we've got to believe in the heart. So Jesus said, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe in the heart, those things which he says, or saith, shall come to pass. Then he stresses it again. He shall have whatsoever he says. Boy, I tell you, that's a big statement. But it's not going to happen just because you say something 3-4 times. It's got to be in your heart first. And once it becomes a reality deep down inside, and you stand by faith and says, listen, this is what God's word says on it. I believe that from the bottom of my heart that this is the way it's going to be. And I declare that whatever is, you'll have what you say. But if you're only saying it, just make it sound like a spiritual chant or something, you're just wasting your time. It's got to be in your heart. And listen, God knows the heart. I can fool you. You can fool me. I've heard people preach sometimes or pray sometimes. Man, they're so loud and booming. You think, boom, man, you know the power of God is there. And sometimes the power of God is not there at all. Because we're trying it from up here again. We're just getting caught up in what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? God wants people to worship from the heart. Down inside. And see, this is where people have struggles trying to believe God for something, trying to serve God, trying to receive from God, is because they're trying it from up here. And you don't have to be around a person very long to find out if they're coming from up here or down here. Everything you get from God has got to start in the heart first. Okay, let's get back to this again. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart, that those things which he saith with his mouth shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, remember what the therefore is for? We used to always do this a couple years ago. When you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Okay? When you see a therefore or a wherefore, stop and see what it's there for. It's there to tie what he just said into what he's going to say now. He joins it together. He said, this is, because of that, this is how it works. You understand it? He's tying it together. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever, how many things are that? That's everything, isn't it? Whatever you desire. Now let me put a little clause in there, a little qualification. Whatever you desire, according to God's will. That's the bottom line with all this. Okay? That's the bottom line with all of it. It's no good to ask God to do something if it's not His will. And if you persist long enough, God will give it to you anyway. But you'll pay the consequences for it. Children of Israel proved that over and over and over throughout the Old Testament. Remember when they asked God for a king? God didn't want to give them a king, and they kept after it and kept after it. And Samuel got frustrated, and Samuel thought they were mad against him. And God said, listen, Samuel, he's got nothing to do with you. He said, they don't want me to lead them. He said, give them a king. He said, but warn them first. He said, that king is going to come in. He's going to raise the taxes. He's going to take their sons and put them into war. He said, they're going to be killed, and all these different things are going to go on. But they want to become like the other nations. It's bad when you want to become like Joneses. Get God's will for your life and for your family. You understand that? So anyway, let's get back here again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, in other words, all things that you desire, if you're in God's will, obviously, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now let's take that a bit slow, and we'll finish up. He says, what things soever... How many things are these again? Everything. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. Right? It all works with the same principle, in other words. He said all things are possible. If you would say, if you believe and say, all things are possible. So, like I said, it's not all things except my situation or your situation. It's everything. God doesn't love you any more than he loves me. Or doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And he don't love us any less than the other. So he's not going to do something for me just because he likes me better than he likes you. Or vice versa. We're all equal in God's eyes. But, he said, all things whatsoever you desire, when ye pray, believe. Now when do you pray? When do you believe? When do you believe? No, not what. When? What did he say? Read that verse again. What did he say? When do you believe? when you pray. Not after you get it. I got a relative, and he said his mother, well, she's dead now, but his mother was sick. He said, if God would have healed her, he said, I believe. Now, a lot of us talk that way, but what did Jesus say? When do you believe? When you pray, before you see the outcome. You understand that? So he said, when you pray, believe. What do you believe? That you receive. So you don't believe you pray. If we pray for somebody on Sunday and they wake up Monday morning, they're healed, and say, oh, thank God I received. When do we believe that we received? Sunday when we prayed, right? Just a little in our own family. We had Samuel here August the 8th. I got that date memorized. August the 8th, I believe he was healed. I honestly do. Down in my heart, I believe it. See, the problem is, everything that we need, God has already provided for us. Do you know there's a salvation provided for every person on the planet? There's a Savior for every last person. And that was provided before the foundation of the world. The Bible says Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Your healing was provided before the foundation of the world. Already there. It's available. Now, doesn't mean to say every person is saved. You understand what I'm saying? It's something we got to do in order to be saved. Paul told us here in Romans chapter 10. You got to believe and you got to speak it. Same thing with healing or whatever. All things work this way. Remember? Everything works this way. When we start to believe God, and we're believing God for... You see, if somebody came in here today and gave their heart to the Lord, came and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there's not one of us here in this audience doubts whether that person got saved or not. We saw them come and get saved. We believe it when we saw them pray. You understand that? Now, they might go back and live like the devil tomorrow. Doesn't mean to say they never got saved. You understand that? So when you're praying for something, if it's a healing or whatever the case might be, you might go back tomorrow and it might look the same thing. Nothing has changed. And up here, you start to, you know, all these doubts start to come again. But he said, don't doubt in your heart. Up here, you're going to get all this coming at you all the time. But don't doubt it in your heart. Don't let it get down into your heart and just give up and say, I just can't take this anymore. Then you let it get down into your heart and you just lost everything. You understand that? Get it down in your heart that when prayer was made, if it was a prayer of faith, I'm not talking about just frivolous talking, but if you're sincere before God and there's a prayer of faith made, if you felt anything, didn't feel anything, felt good, felt bad, never felt a draft, doesn't matter. Because you're not basing it on your feelings, you're basing it on faith. And you believe that whatever took place, the healing, the finances, whatever, the wheels were set in motion to bring that into the natural realm for you. Now, it might take a while to see it manifested. Like you say, if a person gets saved, sometimes I see people get saved and I've seen them change instantly. I've seen miracles. People get healed instantly. But I've also seen people get prayed for and probably 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, 2 or 3 years before the total manifestation comes. But you don't give up the believing. You don't give up the believing. Get it down in your heart. This is what Jesus said. Why do you think Jesus used the picture of a mountain? I don't believe he meant for the people to go out there and start trying to cast that mountain out. And why do you think he used that? Nothing, exactly the size. Nothing is too big. I mean, that's an impossibility in the natural in any way. I mean, that's an impossibility even for us today and 2,000 years later with all the equipment and everything else. I'm just going to drop a nuclear bomb or something. But that's an impossibility for us to take that mountain and put it into the sea. And Jesus is trying to explain to us anything that's impossible is possible if you really get it down in your heart and believe. And he said, this is the way that God works. On creation, God said, light be. God believed it in his heart was going to happen, and the words came to pass. When Gabriel came to Mary, Mary said, I don't understand everything going on, but whatever you said, should I believe it? And the Bible says, the word, the seed became flesh in her womb. She received it and gave birth to it. Our faith works the very same way. We have to receive it in our hearts and speak it with our mouths. And when we do that, the wheel starts in motion. And whether it takes 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or 2 minutes, it doesn't really matter. We just don't give up the believing part. Up here, you wake up the next morning and you still got aches in your joints, or you still got this problem, you still got that, you know. And up here you think, well, you know, it was a good service yesterday, but I don't think anything really happened. Well, you just let that go right down to your heart again and just brought the doubt back here. That makes sense to you? You got to believe it in your heart. And when you believe it in your heart, you see, it take too long to draw this. When you believe it in your heart, it eventually gets to the place where you get more determined in your faith and more stable in it and everything else and more strong in your faith. And when you believe it in your heart, that time frame is going to be shrunk. Sometimes when you start believing God, it takes forever to get an answer, seems like. Not that it takes forever to get the answer. The answer is already there. But to see it manifest in this realm, it takes a while. And this is where you got to stand in faith. You can't let that doubt get down into your heart. You believe in your heart.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take.